So Evander Kane won't play tonight. He'll be out till early February with a lower body injury sustained in the last game.
Yep. That's three consecutive starts for him.
Yeah, I don't really look at it as that. So we rolled it till Christmas time, came back. He got the first start out because we just felt that he had more experience, more recent experience coming into games cold. His play has been stellar for a long time. And the big function back-to-back with Minnesota, just a comfort level layer of seeing the shots. Pav's last regulation loss was November 23rd, so he's going back into. And when you look at our schedule through to the Olympic, to the All-Star break, especially 7-11 in the middle of that jump, we'll be rolling the goalies.
You said the other day that you weren't as committed to the straight rotation that we had been reporting about.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable at this stage, though, if you do have a guy with a hot hand that you might decide to go with him for a few nights, or do you have a schedule that you've got plotted out that you plan on sticking to?
So So even going back to that rotation, you're just going by what you see, and it just made a lot of sense with what we were doing, the way the games lined up, who the opponents were. It just worked. And then I'll have blocks of ideas where I think we might play guys. I know with that schedule we're playing both. I know coming up that that's going to happen. I also think that some of the good in both goalies played is because of the rotation. And we're not holding anybody back from going on an awfully long run or running a guy until it's not good anymore. Playing a goaltender until his confidence comes off and then having to go with the other guy. There's no need for us to do that right now. Will we come out of – I haven't been as married to the rotation as it looked. It just kept going, so I let it go. So is there a chance? It wouldn't necessarily be a change in philosophy that I've had. I'm going to watch the games, take a look at the schedule, and make a call.
You have a team save percentage of around 920 right now, which is pretty good, I think. You know, that would seem to me would be the object is to worry about that. And if you don't need a number one or to declare a number one, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think we need our goaltenders mentally strong and feeling good more than anything else. And I worked for a goaltender for a long time. And one of his things always to me was you can't keep pulling a guy out after a loss and making your goalie change. Sometimes it's good to have a guy come out after a win and sit the bench and feel good and keep his confidence for more than a day. And you know, in Carolina, it was scratch and claw every night. So there weren't a lot of long runs there where a guy could really build it. So I've always believed that there was a value in that too. You know, that a guy can come out after a good win. You don't just have to keep jamming him back in there until he fails. So we've had good goaltending. Going to leave him pretty close to that rotation. It's almost like, you know, when a guy comes out of the net, you'd say, you know, when does he deserve to get back in? And because we've had good goaltending, the answer is probably the next night, after the next game. And the body of work has been so good that one off night by any of them wouldn't take them out of that kind of same concept of rotation.
Is it fair to say, though, that you don't have a number one right now? You have a tandem?
Well, we have a number one every night. It's a guy standing between the pipes.
Paul, with Evander Kane not in there now for the next while, what will that do to your penalty killing? Will you continue to rotate the guys who were doing that, or will you start to fold a new guy or two into the mix?
There's two options. So TJ comes back in, and then the easier thing to do would just have Frolik go with Wheeler and have TJ go with Jimmy, because there's more of a comfort level there. We've looked at Halaschuk has killed for us. We've talked about Mark Scheifele. Now we're getting into minutes. The other one was Lowry. And he's done some killing. He took a big face off with 8 seconds left to go on that penalty kill and won it clean, and down the ice it went. So I've got lots of time from there. The other part of this is Vander's also on the power play, and Lowry does a really nice job in front of the net. So the decision will probably more, what am I going to do on the power play to start, because we need somebody to go into that Vander hole. And if it's Lowry, then I'll hold him off the PK and find other guys to do it. But we're not going to split all the groups up. We're going to go to as many guys, have a comfort level together. But I think you'll see Halaschuk, Scheifele, and Lowry at times jump in, as along with Gagliardi jump in.
Of the 14 goals that have been scored in the two games, there have been at least four that I remember that were of the quirky variety. Is that just the way the teams are playing? Is it ice conditions? Or what would you attribute
that to? I think when you look at what they give up, and they give up the fewest shots in the league, so much never gets to their net, as it's been true of our team, pretty decent shot blocking team, that it's the bounces. Even the power play goal goes off a stick, goes off Buff's leg and goes into the back of the net, and two off thighs in the first game that we were there. So accept it. That's the way these goals are going to be scored. Trying to score them a different way, I don't think gets you any more by any means, and it might keep you out of some of those what you'd consider lucky breaks around the net. But they're almost all the same thing. It's a lot of traffic and bodies going to the net, and it's bouncing off something before it gets to the goaltender.
Have you seen enough from this team this year, the way they've responded to the many injuries you've had so far, to expect them to roll through this?
No, we only have an expectation on our compete. And the results, we'll see how it goes. We've got adversity with the injuries that we have, and then we've got another one coming in here, and that's the schedule. So there's a number of different kinds of adversities you face in the NHL, and one of them is scheduling, and everybody has it. You know, we've got 7-11 coming in, 5-7 games, bunch of them on the road. That's going to be a tough grind for our hockey team, even if you're healthy. So the only thing that we value, and when I say we, it sounds like I'm jumping in on that. It's them. I mean, their compete level has been so strong that that's what they're looking for. So we'll go out, we'll compete every night, and that should not change. The results and the people out, and if it changes the outcome of some games, there's almost no control of that. What there is we're going to come out and work as hard as we possibly can and see what happens.
Usually people believe you need depth to get through problems like this. Is it time to say that the Jets had more depth than maybe people thought they
did? Well, we found some people, right, on the back end. So there's been three, major changes. You lose four guys, and to start, and for a big bulk of their season, we're talking about our top four in terms of minutes and how they're played. But we find Bufflin back on defense, and he's been fantastic. Ben Sherratt comes in, and this now is looking like a National Hockey League defenseman that you're going to have a hard time taking out of the lineup, and we add Jay Harrison, which was really, really important. So there's some depth there that we didn't know that we had at the start of the year, so you find some depth. But now our back end, four pretty good guys on the IR here, and we're still a competitive hockey team. So we've developed and found some back end depth.
You singled out Bufflin first. What has he meant to the team in this stretch?
He's been the key piece to us surviving this stretch. The quality of game that he's playing from a defensive point of view has been outstanding, and he's a really bright man. And he understands the game very well, and he knows that he wants to play defense. I mean, that one's well documented. And he's doing all the things that he needs to do to stay there. The points are, I think you can almost say the points are there regardless. He puts numbers up from the back end. He's got that kind of offensive skill. The question was, could he play well enough defensively to have it make sense, for there to be a value with your team? The way he's playing defensively right now, he's got to stay there. I mean, he's playing like an elite defenseman defending. So he's been fantastic in the room, on the bench, and he looks like he wants to play D, and he can stay there for me.
Paul, you hear coaches often talk about this season in different quadrants and in terms of the emotional level that it takes to win, and then when it gets to the playoffs, it goes to another level altogether. This group, they haven't in the past shown success in building that forward as the season goes on. This seems to be a little bit different. They seem to be able to find that to match the emotional level on most nights. Do you worry about that going forward, that they'll be able to do that, or do you think that that's in your room?
It's the most important thing we are right now. It's the most important thing that gets built here. And the results, and I think that's where having the right kind of focus on what you are as a team is the most important thing. You can't worry about the results as long as that competes there and you build that. So if you leave the end of the year, regardless of what happens in your season, and you feel that you've taken a major step forward in making that the foundation of your game, then your program is just going to keep getting better every year. It's the hardest thing, I think, to get into a room, to compete on every night, to come out and identify yourself as a player with that. And I'm not trying to be humble. It's got nothing to do with the systems. The success or any success that we've had in less than half a season is on the compete level of the players and their preparation for the games.
So you're an experienced guy. You've been around a lot of teams. What does it take for that to that to arrive, because, you know, like, they were, this team was in playoff spots late in seasons and other spots, and then they didn't match the compete level from other teams, and now this year we are seeing it. Where does that come from?
So I felt before I got here, and I watched quite a few of the games, that the compete level was real high. It really was. They were trying, and they were they weren't playing to their strengths. So that's what needs to happen. You have your identity of how you're going to play. You bring that compete level, and then you just stay consistent with it, regardless of the adversity that you face. And some of the adversity comes in the form of pressure, right? There's going to be more pressure brought on our team and a whole lot of others, and we all have to learn how to deal with that. You've got that kind of pressure. So those are the things that we talk about after losing those leads. What happened in those games that we changed, that the pressure changed in the game that we changed? Now the other team does different things. So that's all part of the learning process we're trying to go through, which is why, you know, we love the result in the Chicago game, because after dealing with it, we still stayed on the aggressive attack and we still made plays. So we looked like we stepped forward. For me, that's what, I mean, this whole year is all about: find an identity, establish it, and then ride it through the adversity. The adversity is still coming. It's still ahead of us. The two big ones, the scheduling and the pressure we got to deal with, the injuries we can't do anything about, so that just comes to your door.
About your the recall yesterday of Patrice Cormier, did you consider a more offensive option, say an Eric O'Dell, knowing that Evander Kane may be out?
We talked about Eric, and I've got a real comfort level with him. I've got some time for his game. Patrice has been a real strong performer down there and deserves to come up. We won't be bringing up offense to change our offensive game from the American Hockey League. They're going to have to come in and play the game that we're playing as a group, just like all those. We didn't bring these back in guys and say, well, Trouba's gone, now we've got to bring in somebody who can really snap the puck around back there. That's not going to help us. So there wasn't a premium put in. Let's bring in our best offensive guy, because that's going to change where we are. In a lot of ways, Chris is a version of Evander. He's big, he's fast, he'll take pucks to the net. So he fits kind of style-wise with what that line is doing. They were really good, I thought, in Dallas. So we have an expectation that they should be fine. But we've been scoring enough to win. We just got to make sure we're not giving enough so much that it takes us out of the game.